Many Nazis were convinced that Christianity, which held that men were intended to conquer nature rather than live in harmony with it, and capitalism, which alienated men from their natural state, conspired to undermine German health. In a widely read book on nutrition, Hugo Klein blamed capitalist special interests and masculinized Jewish half-women for the decline in quality of German foods, which contributed in turn to the rise in cancer, another Nazi obsession. Organic food was inextricably linked to what the Nazis then described, as the left does today, as social justice issues. Are you automatically a fascist if you care about health, nutrition, and the environment? Of course not. What is fascist is the notion that in an organic national community, the individual has no right not to be healthy. And the state, therefore, has the obligation to force us to be healthy for our own good. To the extent that these modern health movements seek to harness the power of the state to their agenda, they flirt with classical fascism. Even culturally, environmentalism gives license to the sort of moral bullying and intrusion that, were it couched in terms of traditional morality, liberals would immediately denounce as fascist. As of this writing, a legislator in New York wants to ban using iPods when crossing the street. In many parts of the country, it's illegal to smoke in your car or even outdoors if other human beings could conceivably be near you. We hear much about how conservatives want to invade our bedrooms, but as this book went to press, Greenpeace and other groups were launching a major campaign to educate people on how they can have environmentally friendly sex. Greenpeace has a whole list of strategies for getting it on for the good of the planet. You may trust that environmentalists have no desire to translate these voluntary suggestions into law, but I have no such confidence given the track record of similar campaigns in the past. Free speech, too, is under relentless assault where it matters most, around elections, and is being sanctified where it matters least, around strippers' polls and on terrorist websites. In Democracy in America, Alexis de Tocqueville warned, "It must not be forgotten that it is especially dangerous to enslave men in the minor details of life. For my own part, I should be inclined to think freedom is less necessary in great things than in little ones." This country seems to have inverted Tocqueville's hierarchy. We must all lose our liberties and the little things so that a handful of people can enjoy their freedoms to the fullest. For generations, our primary vision of a dystopian future has been that of Orwell's 1984. This was a fundamentally masculine nightmare of fascist brutality. But with the demise of the Soviet Union and the vanishing memory of the great 20th century fascist and communist dictatorships, the nightmare vision of 1984 is slowly fading away.